I never want to turn around and be a 50-year-old and wonder what if. What if I had done something differently? What if I had never come out and told people about my sexuality? What happens if I never went back to trampoline? I never want to die wondering. And if you're true and open about it, then you're never going to do that.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. New Zealand queer couples start getting civilized, Spain's government rebuffs marriage equality opposition, and Aussie Olympian jumpin' Jai Wallace leaps out of the closet. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Christopher Gall.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending April 30th, 2005. New Zealand's first civil unions were contracted this week, including one broadcast on national television. The civil unions are legally equivalent to marriages and are available to both same-gender and heterosexual couples. Only a few couples rushed to be among the first to apply for licenses, and it wasn't easy for media to find willing subjects for reporting. In the first 3 days applications were available, 29 couples filed them, including 8 heterosexual couples. Foreigners can also contract New Zealand civil unions, but none were known to have applied this week. There's a 3-day waiting period after filing before a civil union can be finalized. The first civil union may have been the one celebrated by a couple of 4 years standing, Leif Cooper and Kelly Cunningham in Hamilton. Steve Hay and Glenn Lewis, a couple for 7 years in Auckland, took their vows before TV cameras in what was promoted as a marriage. But May Day marks the lesbi-gay community's big public celebration when activists Des Smith and John Jolliffe formalized their 19-year relationship before Wellington Mayor Kelly Prendergast, with a parade complete with brass band to follow. Those two senior citizens were the first in line to apply for a civil union license in Wellington. Civil unions remain politically controversial in New Zealand. The Labour government affirms its legislation as a significant step towards equality, and the Green Party declares it a proud achievement. But the National Party is describing it as social engineering and maybe making civil unions a campaign issue. A leader of the ACT has suggested that a cabal of homosexuals is running the government's social agenda, and the small Christian Heritage Party is vowing to repeal the new law as soon as possible.
As a parliamentary vote last week made marriage equality in Spain appear inevitable, there was a brief rebellion this week from some of the public officials authorized to perform marriages. Conservative mayors in at least 3 cities, Avila, León, and Valladolid, told reporters that they would never marry gay or lesbian couples or allow their city workers to do so. Valladolid Mayor Javier León de la Riva told La Razón newspaper that he did not oppose equal rights for those couples, but objected to their unions being called marriages. Spain's Justice Minister López Aguilar responded immediately in a radio broadcast, declaring that public officials must carry out the laws of the land, and reminding them that civil marriage has nothing to do with religion or sacrament. Some legal experts said officials could even face criminal prosecution for failing to carry out the law. El País newspaper then reported that the rebellious mayors had generally agreed to allow other city officials to perform marriages for same-gender couples. The mayor's revolt is widely attributed to the Vatican's call for professionals who are Roman Catholics, as most Spaniards are, to refuse to cooperate in the implementation of the anticipated law. This week, Spanish Cardinal Ricard Maria Carles intensified the church's rhetoric, telling Agence France-Presse that if you give obedience to the law priority over obedience to your conscience, that leads to Auschwitz. Spanish lesbi-gay activists were incensed by the cardinal's references to the Nazi Holocaust in this context, since thousands of gay men were victims of the Nazi camps, and many were imprisoned under Spain's former dictator, Francisco Franco.
There may be no Anglican weddings for Canadian gays and lesbians for at least 2 years if the upcoming General Synod approves a resolution that the nation's 40 bishops unanimously agreed to this week. Only the Vancouver area New Westminster Diocese was officially offering church blessings to same-gender couples, but since the Anglican Church of Canada had not condemned them, the entire national church had been targeted by the Global Anglican Communion for its part in the denomination's growing schism over lesbogay issues. After 3 days of discussion behind closed doors, the Canadian bishops resolved to accept the World Church's discipline, including Canada's withdrawal from a major international church policy panel, providing an explanation of the reasoning involved in violating the World Church's ban on same-gender marriages, and ceasing to perform the wedding ceremonies. The actual statement the bishops issued said, "On the matter of a moratorium on the authorization of public rites for the blessing of same-sex unions, we commit ourselves neither to encourage nor to initiate the use of such rites until General Synod has made a decision on the matter." Canadian Archbishop Andrew Hutchinson told reporters, "In some cultures, homosexuality is still a major criminal offense, punishable by heavy prison sentences. We must respect those cultures." Of course, civil marriage is open to same-gender couples in most of Canada, thanks to provincial court rulings, although the National Bill for Marriage Equality is still in process in the Parliament and threatened by the possible fall of the Liberal Party's minority government itself. This week, four same-gender couples filed a lawsuit seeking the right to marry in New Brunswick, with the pro bono assistance of attorney Alison Maynard. New Brunswick, Alberta, and Prince Edward's Island are the only Canadian provinces still restricting marriage to heterosexual couples.
U.S. state legislatures continue to advance amendments to their state constitutions to deny marriage to gay and lesbian couples. This week, the constitutional amendment 70% of Kansas voters approved in early April became effective, and it bars same-gender couples from civil unions and the incidence of marriage, as well as marriage itself. But Kansas Attorney General Phil Klein believes it does not serve to prohibit domestic partner benefits for civil servants, as is now being contested in Michigan.
South Carolina's proposed constitutional amendment passed its final hurdle in the state legislature with a House voice vote this week. The House was agreeing to a Senate language change intended to preserve individuals' rights to enter legal contracts, so the proposed amendment reads, "Marriage between one man and one woman is the only lawful domestic union that shall be valid or recognized in this state." In November 2006, the question will appear on general election ballots in the form, "Should marriage be defined as a union between one man and one woman?"
The Texas State House this week endorsed a proposed constitutional amendment by a margin of more than 3-1. During floor debate, Republican Warren Chisholm, the author of this and many other anti-gay bills, explained that despite its prohibition on recognition of any legal status similar to marriage, his proposed amendment would allow for private contracts between unmarried partners, including insurance policies naming a partner as a beneficiary. Amendment opponents disagree. The proposal moves next to the Texas Senate.
The Texas legislature is also wrestling with a proposed ban on gays or lesbians serving as foster parents, one which would be unique in the U.S. Thanks to Republican Representative Robert Talton, that ban was added to the House version of a bill to revamp the state's child protective services system and was passed last week. But this week, the Senate refused to adopt the House changes to the more general bill it had already passed. Now the ban's fate is in the hands of a House-Senate conference committee.
Elsewhere, it's adoptions by same-gender couples that are at issue. In Germany, the state of Bavaria is asking the Federal Constitutional Court to strike down the adoption provisions in the latest version of the nation's registered partnerships for same-gender couples. Those provide only for one partner to adopt the other's biological child and only with the consent of the opposite-sex parent, if applicable. But that's still too much for Bavaria's Christian Social Union governor, Edmund Stoiber, who objects to recognizing gay and lesbian families.
A legislative committee in Ireland this week held hearings on the possibility of expanding the constitutional definition of family, including the possibility of granting same-gender couples the same status to adopt as their heterosexual counterparts. Ireland already allows gay and lesbian couples to serve as foster parents, as activists told the committee. But several religious right groups objected to any change in the definition of family, opposing recognition for unmarried heterosexual couples as well as gay and lesbian ones.
And finally, U.S. President George W. Bush has repeatedly urged the passage of a federal constitutional amendment to reserve marriage exclusively for heterosexual couples and condemned equality decisions as the work of activist judges. But he looked a little gay himself this week, not on one but two occasions, and in his home state of Texas at that. You may have seen one, the video of Bush in a garden at his ranch, strolling hand in hand with Saudi Crown Prince Abdullah. But he also spoke in Galveston, and recalled the venerable local tradition of an end-of-school-year beach party known as Splash Day. But apparently no one had advised him that for at least a decade, Splash Day has been a specifically gay male event. Gay men took up the tradition after official Galveston had backed off from doings that had gotten too rowdy. So although the president was looking for a chuckle or two, he got bigger laughs than he bargained for when he said, "Do you still have Splash Day? You have to be a baby boomer to know what I'm talking about. I'm not saying whether I came or not on Splash Day. I'm just saying, do you have Splash Day?"
That's News Wrap for the week ending April 30th, 2005. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Christopher Gall.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
Acceptance by the general public of out gays and lesbians in amateur and professional sports seems to slowly be on the rise. An April Sports Illustrated magazine poll reported that 86% of Americans think that openly gay athletes should not be excluded from team sports. Openly lesbian pro U.S. golfer Rosie Jones and French tennis pro Amélie Mauresmo are successfully competing. And such sports luminaries as Martina Navratilova, Greg Louganis, Mark Tewksbury, Ian Roberts, and Ezra Tuolo continue to enjoy wide popularity. Last week, Australian media widely reported the self-outing of a high-profile gay athlete there. Popular 27-year-old gymnast Jai Wallace won the silver medal in the Sydney 2000 Olympics in his favorite discipline, the trampoline, which was a first for Australia. And in 1996, he was world champion in the double mini trampoline. Now, with his eyes fixed firmly on gold at the Beijing Olympics in 2008, Jumpin' Jai Wallace has decided to let everyone know that he's very glad to be gay. This Way Out correspondent John Frame chats with Wallace about why he decided to come out at this point in his career and the reaction of family, friends, and the Aussie sports world to his announcement.
Jai Wallace, welcome to This Way Out.
Thank you very much.
Australian television ran a little article saying that an Australian sportsman had decided to come out as being gay. It was yourself. Can you tell us about this?
Well, it's not so much, I guess, that it is my own personal outing, because I've been out for many years now, but it's just something that one of my friends from Melbourne, who actually own a gay paper, they decided to run an article about me and my return to the international sporting career that I love so much of trampoline.
Okay. Did you actually decide that you'd do a media conference and deal more publicly with his sexuality?
No, it was only actually what I had discussed with my friend who runs MCV, and we decided to do that article, and everything's really run from there. I've had numerous calls from gay media and mainstream media interested in running with the story. It's basically quite unusual for me, actually, because it's been such a, I guess, a non-issue in my life for so long now that it's quite interesting for so many people to be picking up on it. And it's sort of taking myself back quite a few years to remember when it was an issue for me and when it was a bit of a struggle for me to discuss it with my friends and my family. So now that it's actually out there in the open, it's always going to be a taboo subject, I guess, and especially when an international athlete at an Olympic level decides that he wants to make a return to the sporting foray as an out and proud gay man, then it's certainly going to arise some attention.
Mm. You're 28 years old.
Oh, you're 27. 28 this year.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Okay, but it means that you've been performing on the international level since you were 15, at least.
Yeah, that's right. I had a little hiatus after the Sydney Olympics in 2000. I won a silver medal there, so I was more than happy to retire and chase other dreams that I have and other goals that I have. But there was always that one remaining factor that I always wanted, a gold medal. Both myself and my coach wanted that gold medal so desperately that after Athens, I really had a hard look at where I was going with my own personal career. And then I had a look at where I could go with my sporting career again, and I contacted him late last year, and he was more than happy. He was actually over the moon to have me back training for the next Olympics, which is about 3.5 years away.
You must have been encouraged by perhaps the gay games that happened in Sydney and the good response that happened with the media there.
Absolutely. Well, I really think that we live in quite a civilized society in the 21st century, so it's something that is an event. It's something that brings the wider community together. It's not just going to be a gay and lesbian event. It's something that brings friends and family, and it's like the gay and lesbian Mardi Gras. It's something that brings everybody together as a celebration. And there are many gay people out there competing at high levels of sport, high levels of business, high levels of the arts, all sorts of things. So it's about time that somebody, I guess, took a bit of a lead and said, you know what, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this right from the beginning. Leading into the Sydney Games, there was no media coverage in regards to myself being a homosexual, but because I was absolutely tuned in and focused in on producing the best result, and that was sort of 4 years in the making. In those 4 years was a very turbulent time for myself, because that was a part of the time that I was still making those discoveries and still coming to terms with my sexuality and being really, really comfortable with it. So in terms of being out before the Sydney Olympics, it was something that was known to a few friends and a few family, but it wasn't something that I would ever have let loose in the media, I guess, because up until the Sydney Games, I was still just a trampolinist, jumping up and down on the trampoline for a bit of fun. So when I succeeded very well in Sydney, of course, naturally, there was a bit of focus and a bit of a spotlight, but I retired straight away, so that focus and that spotlight was very brief indeed.
You have, though, had quite a high profile in terms of media in general in Australia, because I remember seeing in the lead-up to the 2000 Olympics, there was a program that had followed some of the young athletes who were likely to do well, and they certainly followed yourself. And I've seen images of you with your proud mum saying that you used to just do the trampoline all day.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, growing up in the backyard, it was everybody had a trampoline there, so I was on the trampoline. I think I'd taught myself back salts and somersaults and full twisting somersaults by the time I was 8 or 9, and that was just in the backyard. So I was getting a little bit scary, and I was jumping off the second story balcony onto the trampoline and going for the pool and doing really silly things. So Mum took me up to the local gym, and it all started from there. And I guess I took off from there. I made my first state team within a couple of months, and then my first national team that same year. So it was something that I was relatively gifted at, and I was always encouraged to be the best that I could be and be the person that I wanted to be. So there was never any disencouragement for me being ever successful at anything that I wanted to be successful at. Hi, it's Jai Wallace, the out and proud trampolinist from Australia. You're listening to This Way Out.
Now, my suggestion would be that, you know, more sports players should come out, those who are gay or lesbian, because eventually this must impact on how well they can perform if there's a fear that the person that they're in love with somehow can't be as loving and affectionate to them, especially in a public way, as they need to be. Do you feel that if you're not open about your sexuality, that would have a negative impact on your performance, or it could have?
Well, I think not just being out and open, but not being true to yourself, I guess. And that's where I think there's a little bit of difference about about being purely open about your sexuality or being true to yourself, because you can be out and proud but still not true to yourself. And I still think that can hinder a performance, or that can hinder your training or the way people perceive you or the way the media perceives you. So I think if you're just honest and open and just really strong, you become such more an attractive person, not only to yourself, to other people, but to the possibility of media and sponsors. So I think if you just be yourself and just basically go your own way, if you sort of take your coach's advice, absolutely, but you've got to be the driving force in your own life. Everybody's got to take a bit of responsibility for their own direction, and if anybody can actually get out there and just say, you know what, this is me, take me as I am, and I'm going to be the best that I damn well can be, you know what, I'm going to say that 100% of the time you're going to be successful at it.
Dealing with this issue publicly, even though you say you've been happily gay for a number of years now, it means that your family also now publicly deal with this issue. Have your family in these last few days or weeks felt that they can cope well, that they're happy to now deal with the issue of your gayness with the family, the neighbours?
Yeah, my dad was very much a bloke's bloke growing up. He was a truck driver and then a mine worker. So he was always under the impression that a boy needed to be a boy and a girl needed to be a girl, kind of thing. So for him, he's grown such a lot, and I'm so proud of him over the last couple of years in the understanding of where I'm coming from and what I'm up to and what I'm doing. And he's met a few boyfriends that I've had, and he's just been open and accepting and just absolutely unbelievable. So I don't have any doubt in my mind that both my mum and my dad will have no problem at all discussing it or putting up, or actually sort of maybe if there is any negativity towards them, that they'll be able to handle that with grace and absolute sort of pleasure with everything that they do.
Mm-hmm. And have Gymnastics Australia been really supportive about this?
Yeah, definitely. When I first decided to come back to trampoline, I let them know, and I let them know that it may cause some media interest and exposure, and that's a great way to get exposure back to myself and my sporting goals and dreams, back to the competition arena, back to trampoline sports, and also can help bring being a gay athlete to the foray of media attention again. So the fact that they're very supportive of it, they're as long as sort of they're in the loop and they know what's going on, and that's what I believe will make a successful team with my comeback towards Beijing, is the fact that I've got such a group of people around me that are very successful and very supportive, and there's no reason for me to not keep them in the loop and not keep them informed about what's going on. And I think that's basically what will make us a success, the fact that they do know. And there's going to be no hidden surprises, because I know everybody's been caught off guard once or twice, and there's nothing worse than being caught off guard and being unprepared for something. So as long as I prepare everybody around me for what's going to happen, then I think we'll be able to beat any issues that do come up. I think we'll be able to be dealt with just fine.
That's great. Because many elite athletes, like your mum, was obviously aware of your ability as a trampoline gymnast from age 8, but many people are guided into a life of sport as a career well before they've got a clear idea in their head of their sexuality. So it really is important that whatever sexuality someone grows up to, that's going to be okay with them, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, I have no qualms in suggesting to people that if they have any queries or any problems, call the local helpline. You know what? Call people that have been through the experience that they see themselves just about to head towards, and get a bit of understanding and a bit more knowledge about how best to handle it. And my suggestion would be just to be yourself. Plain and simple, be yourself, be as strong as you can be, and definitely put your goals ahead of what you think the problem might be. Put your head down and your bum up and work towards those, because in the end, I never want to turn around and be a 50-year-old and wonder, what if? What if I had done something differently? What if I had never come out and told people about my sexuality? What happens if I never went back to trampoline? I never want to die wondering. And if you're true and open about it, then you're never going to do that.
That was Officially Out Australian gymnast Jumpin' Jai Wallace in conversation with This Way Out correspondent John Frame. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Christopher Gall, Graham Underhill, Rex Walkner, and John Frame contributed program material. Thanks also to J.D. Doyle. Lady Bunny sang Let's Get Jumpin', and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime, online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, www.thiswayout.org. You can also email tworadio@aol.com to ask for our monthly This Way Out updates and or to receive our weekly program promo messages. This Way Out is supported by charitable donations from our listeners. We literally can't go on without you. Please find out how you can help keep us on the air and get our tangible thanks by visiting our website. You can also bid on some terrific items at an online auction to benefit This Way Out, sponsored by the Stonewall Society. Look for the This Way Out area at alternabid.com. And to be sure you don't miss a week of This Way Out, you can subscribe to audio CDs of our program. For all the details, please do log on to thiswayout.org, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening on KUMD Duluth, Minnesota, WJSC Johnson, Vermont, 2BBB Bellingen, New South Wales, and more than 150 other stations around the world. Jump out and stay tuned.